my friends, and welcome to the Art Girl on Fire podcast. I'm Amanda. I'm on a journey of healing, and I'm bringing you with me. Now, first things first, I am not a guru. I'm just a woman learning new things and sharing stories from other folks who are doing the same. I'll be sitting down to talk with other artists and creatives who are also on this path to being better humans. We'll talk about art, creating, having a spiritual practice. We'll have some amazing conversations as we all get together and share our stories. There will be episodes where it'll just be little old me. I'll share some practical tools for healing and personal growth. I'll tell you my story, the beautiful as well as the ugly parts, and I hope that you're encouraged on your own path to healing. It's my sincere belief that the more of us who make the choice to heal individually, the better off the whole world will be collectively. So sit down, get comfy, and let's get down to it. Hello, friends. This is Amanda. And this week, for our very first episode, I'm just going to jump right in with one of the practical tools that I use every single day in my spiritual practice, and that is journaling. Now, I thought about this first episode being kind of an introduction, letting you know basically my life story and what brought me to this place where I wanted to heal myself, but I'm not going to subject you to that this week. I feel like the best way to get to know me is little by little as we move along, and I wanted to give you guys something really practical and useful. So, I'm going to talk about my journal practice. Now, keeping a journal daily changed my life. That's a lofty statement right there. Literally speaking, I guess, journaling in and of itself isn't what changed my life. What changed was my desire to live my life differently. Journaling daily was simply the first step in a more disciplined life for me. A life where I took time for things that would help me heal and keep me healthy. I wanted a life lived with intention. I was tired of simply having life happen to me. I felt like I was just a tumbleweed, rolling around through life, blown around all directions by every circumstance. Now let me back up just a little bit. Not my whole life story, but just a little background. When I was young, maybe 12 or so, I started writing in my journal, and I would write in it literally every night before I went to bed. It was time for me to reflect on my day, lay down my thoughts, so that I could ease my mind and sleep well. I have never been a good sleeper, but doing this helped a little bit. I practiced journaling well into my 20s, when the first inkling that I was quote-unquote doing it wrong was presented to me at church. See, in evangelical circles, there's a huge emphasis placed on your prayer life and one-on-one time with Jesus, and there is one certain way that is taught to be correct. I had a prayer life. A big part of it was my journaling time, but I was told that this was wrong. The right way to do it was to wake up promptly at 6 a.m., or earlier if you're really hardcore about it, spend at least an hour praying, giving God the first fruits of your day. I felt a lot of guilt that I had such a terrible time waking up that early. Like I mentioned, I am and always have been a really terrible sleeper. So I spent the first few years of my 20s getting up early, sometimes praying, more often than not falling back to sleep, being racked with guilt over it, until finally I just gave up the practice. I still said some prayers at night before I went to bed, just to make sure I was covered and that I wouldn't die and go to hell if I stopped breathing in the night. Yeah. So, I lost my journaling practice. The second and final blow to my journaling time was when married to my ex-husband, and he found one of my journals and read it and picked a fight with me over what was written inside. I decided that my safety and sanity were worth more than trying to sneak and keep a journal that may be found and read and thought about at any time. So, a couple of years ago, I went through some really ugly heartbreak with my husband. All the details are not important right now. What is important is that that situation forced me to decide to heal myself, to find strength inside myself apart from any other person, and basically just get my shit together. I made a conscious decision after that to take time and take much better care of myself. If I had not made that decision to do so, I very literally would have lost my mind. I came very close. Now, one of the first things I did to get the ball rolling on taking better care of myself was to pick my journaling practice back up. I remembered loving it so much and just having that safe space to pour out my thoughts, sometimes write creatively, sometimes write my prayers. It was just really good, and I wanted that again. So I picked up journaling, and I also began keeping a sketchbook. Making art really keeps me sane in a very real way, and adding this practice into my life was so affirming and just felt incredibly good. I would recommend highly, if you have any creative endeavors, and you don't even have to be good at it, just something. One of my very good friends started making collages, and she's filled sketchbooks already in just the few months she's been doing it with all these amazing collages of anime characters and stickers, and they're amazing. But it's really, really, it makes her feel good, and it's just really cool to see someone I care about do something creative that makes them happy. You know, my mom, when I was young, for a couple of years, she would get scrap wood out of the backyard, and she would build birdhouses. And she built hundreds, and it just was healing for her. I think everybody can do something. Your art may not ever end up in a museum, or it might not be a moneymaker or an income stream, as they like to say these days. But creating just for the sake of it is something that, in a very simple way, yet very profound way, is so, so healing. And I highly recommend it to everyone. Even stick figures, whatever. Just do it. So, one of the first things I did was a little bit of research, because I wanted to journal a little differently than I did as a kid. Life is a little more complicated as an adult, and I know how my brain works, and if I couldn't do it right, I was gonna lose hope and lose faith in myself and give it up. So after some looking around at different templates and ways to journal, I came upon a psychologist. Her name is Dr. Nicola Pera. She goes by The Holistic Psychologist on social media and her website. And she recommends journaling first thing in the morning. And I did begin doing that, but I did not wake up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or even 7 a.m. most days. But as soon as I did wake up, first thing I did was grab my notebook and I started writing. I wrote about what I was feeling, and I also wrote about what I intended to feel and to be. Now, Dr. LaPierre calls that future self journaling. And the way she explains it is taking time for yourself first thing to journal, do some breath work, and move your body a bit is keeping a promise to yourself. When you experience trauma, keeping a promise to yourself is so very healing. When you've been let down by someone and you choose to be there for yourself, and you don't rely on the other person to fix you after going through something together. You know, when you're there for yourself and you choose that, something really powerful happens. Now, I'm not saying that you can't rely on anyone else in your life. You can. But first and foremost, you need to rely on yourself. It's been a handful of years since I began journaling again, and that has evolved into daily prayer and meditation practice for me. and I'm also much more disciplined to get on my mat and do some yoga. Some habits that I've actually changed by using my journaling practice are emotional reactivity. I've learned how to choose how to react to situations. I can observe, I can process my emotions, and then I can release them in healthier ways. Now, am I perfect? No, not at all. I still have days where my emotions get away from me. But overall, I've had a lot of improvement with emotional regulation. Another thing that's been good for me is I've gotten better about my tendency to procrastinate. Now I can sit down in the morning, I'm taking charge of my time, I'm choosing to take charge of my day so it doesn't get away from me anymore. I complete my tasks more efficiently. I found the root of my procrastination was actually fear-based, that I was always afraid of quote-unquote doing it wrong. So a lot of times that would keep me paralyzed in this cloud of procrastination so that, you know, if I didn't do it at all, then I couldn't mess it up. I've worked on that and kind of torn out that root of fear, and it has helped me so much. This is still a work in progress, however. Actually, healing on any level is always a work in progress. We're never finished, but, you know, even if we work on it for a lifetime, every little bit of us that heals, every little layer that we can heal, it just makes everything better, just better, on many different levels. One other thing that my journal practice has helped me with is having a realistic optimism. I am now open to positive things happening for me. I don't feel that I am undeserving of happiness anymore. I understand that unpleasant things may happen from time to time. You know, life is not perfect, but life is not unpleasant or bad. I know that God has good things in store for me, and they're always happening. It's not a one and done type of thing. And I'm now open to receive those good things because I know my self-worth. I know that I deserve good things in my life, and journaling regularly has helped me to work through that and help me get to that place. I would recommend keeping a journal to anyone and everyone. It's helped me to rewire my brain to function in a more productive way. And I don't mean productive in the business sense. Productivity doesn't equal worth. But there are things that need to get done for life to happen. And now I can get those things done more productively. I guess that's a good way to put it. I am much kinder to myself, and I take the time to adequately take care of myself. If you'd like to try future self journaling, you can go to Dr. LaPera's site, Holistic Psychologist, and if you join her email list, it's free. She'll send you the template to start it. It's very simple. It's like 7 steps. It's all basically fill in the blank kind of stuff. And it's a really good way to get started in journaling. I'm one who gets really overwhelmed if I've got too many choices at once. And so her simple template helped me at first. No, I am not sponsored by her site. It's just been a helpful tool for me. But that simple step-by-step way, you know, it kept me focused, and it was an easy way to get going in the morning. It's like, this takes maybe 5 to 10 minutes. I can do it before my feet even hit the floor, and I feel like it puts me in a good headspace to get the day started. And I stuck by that template for over 2 years. Recently, I've started journaling a little bit differently. It's just something my intuition kind of nudged me toward. And now in the morning, I take 3 pages. The first one is affirmations, and this one kind of speaks back to future self. The affirmations are speaking to yourself the type of life that you want to have. Like, think of the highest and best version of yourself, the happiest, the most healed, version of yourself. Think of what that person is like. What does their life look like? And frame your affirmations that way. One that I say a lot, because I'm in my 40s now, is I am vibrantly healthy. I write it almost every day. I'm vibrantly healthy. And for the most part, I really am. I feel pretty good. Others are, you know, dependent on where my head is at that day. You know, if I'm waking up and it's not framing up to be a good morning, like if I'm feeling off, I'm feeling a little down or anxious, you know, I'll affirm that I am calm, I am worthy, I am fearless. One of the things that I learned early on in my healing journey is that that root of fear, fear-based thinking, is the cause of a whole lot of heartbreak for me personally. And I'm sure there are a lot of other people who feel the same. And so, you know, that fear, I still work against that mental programming of just fear and anxiety, worried what if this happens, what if that happens. You know, I choose to believe the best. So that has helped me a great, great deal. So first page affirmations, write about the life that you want, visualize that life you want for yourself. And no, this isn't some woo-woo, like magical, like magic bullet that's just going to change your life overnight. But perception is a huge, huge thing. And however you see your life, you know, eventually your life is going to agree with you. So if all you see is the worst, you'll continue to see it. If you can rewire your brain to expect good things for you, and if you can allow yourself to agree to it, if you can see your worth, you know, society tells us all that we're worthless pieces of garbage. That there's always something missing. We always need something else. Our bodies aren't right. You know, women especially, we can't do anything right. And so it's our responsibility, ourselves, to make sure that we know that we are right, we are good, we are worthy of respect, of good things happening. We're worthy of the life that we want for ourselves. So tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. The second page in my journal practice is my gratitude list. Now this one at first, especially when things are really shitty, trying to sit down and see what you're thankful for, you start out with things like, I'm grateful for running water, for a hot shower. I'm grateful for, you know, food in my pantry. And you should be thankful for those things. They seem simple, but they're important. But as you start to grow that practice, you start to see just how much good stuff there is in your life already. And when you're thankful for what you already have, the universe keeps sending. It will send you more because you're being a good steward of it, if that makes sense. So gratitude is so important, and the energy of gratitude is such a high vibration that when you exist in that space, then everything in your systems, your energetic body, some people call it the aura, you know, your mental systems, your emotional, even the physical, you start to feel better. You just feel better. Thankful people are happier people. Period. The third page in my new journaling practice is clarity. Now, this is where I will ask myself questions. Sometimes I do look up journal prompts if I'm not really sure what I'm feeling that day. I will talk to myself. I will talk to my inner child. Sometimes I'll write my prayers for the day. And sometimes I will use that for my oracle card work and my tarot work. And it can help me to gain clarity. Now, oracle cards I have used for a little while. I was drawn to them when I first started deciding to take care of myself. And I was learning about stone medicine, energy work, different things. I came across some oracle cards in the store that, you know, the artwork was beautiful. I got a really good feeling from them. And so I picked them up. Now, they do not tell the future. Okay, I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not a psychic medium. I use them to gain clarity. Like if I just am needing a little nudge for what to start journaling about that day, or if there's a situation and my brain is kind of all over the place, it can help me kind of figure out what it is I'm actually feeling and thinking on that situation. My tarot cards, also not telling the future with these things. I know some people do and can. I don't. For me right now, they are just an extension of my oracle. They help me to clarify my emotions regarding certain situations. And also, when used in conjunction with my oracle deck, they help give me a more complete picture. They can help me set intentions for, you know, that day, that week, what have you. We'll get into it a little more. I've got some friends that are much better at using tarot than I am. I will say, though, that growing up in evangelical church, I was scared of tarot cards. I was a little bit uncomfortable when I first felt the pull to buy an oracle deck, because I was raised to believe that that was wrong, just wrong. But once I learned that it wasn't this evil thing, it's been a really kind of sweet part of my practice. It helps me tune in to spirit and kind of get peaceful about some things if I'm worried sometimes. So it's been good. Now, the tarot deck, that's more of a recent thing. I felt called to get a deck for myself. And again, the artwork was beautiful, very important to me. And this one, I sat down with it when I first got it. I cleansed it with smoke and was sitting down just to try and get familiar with the cards. I have no experience with tarot. I didn't even understand the major, the minor, arcana, any of that. So I was just kind of going through the deck. So I shuffle, and the first card I lay down was the devil. And so I'm sitting there like, okay, does this mean I need to throw these in the garbage? Do I need to burn these cards? Have I gone too far in my spiritual practice now? Like, what? Again, fear-based thinking. There it was. And so I took a breath and got out, you know, the little booklet that came with my tarot deck and read what the devil card actually means. It is not the personification of Lucifer or anything evil like that. It is more about negative thought patterns and keeping yourself enslaved to things. It's about addictive tendencies and whatnot. Yeah, it's more about, hey, you need to get your shit together. But anyway, that was a growth opportunity. So those two things have added to my journal practice in a way that I really enjoy. Like, I enjoy my journal time in the mornings. Like I said, it doesn't take more than 10 to 20 minutes, sometimes less than that, sometimes more. Sometimes I'll sit and I'll write for over an hour. It just depends. There's no right or wrong way to do this. If that is a fear of yours, or it's making you feel anxious about trying to journal, please, please, please release that thought. It is not true You can't do it wrong. Even if all you do is turn to your journal in the morning and write the date and your name and how you feel that day, that's fine. Even if all you can think of is three things you're grateful for, if you can't think of 10 or 20, it doesn't matter. Like, start with a little, take a step. I promise you, this is a practice worth picking up. It will help so many things. So many things. And it seems simple, and it is simple. I really hope that it's something that becomes useful to you and that you can foster a lot of growth from it. If you do, let me know about it. Write me. Tell me how it's been for you. What's your journal practice like? What do you love about it? What do you hate about it? The email is in show notes. You can always get in touch with me. I'm open to talk about everything. I will talk about anything. One of the things about my life that I have noticed, everything that I gravitate towards, as far as jobs, interests, what have you, it all kind of centers around sharing with people and stories, our stories. As a hairstylist, you know, I chose that profession because, one, I could afford to get myself through school. Two, I knew that it would be a creative job, and I really, really, my soul was hungry for a creative job. It is both of those things. And also, I discovered this after, you know, I got my license and started working. Just having someone in the chair and working on them, you know, we have an hour, hour and a half, sometimes several hours together, and just, you know, holding space for people and letting them share their lives with me, man, that is, it's precious. And not in that Southern, like, bless your heart, you're precious kind of thing. No, like, it's a gift that I'm so thankful for. Like, my job is great. I love it. I love hearing people's stories. I love sharing with them sometimes. Just, there's something really magical about it. Other hairdressers, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just this magic that happens in the chair. And there are other industries too, where, you know, you're sharing space with people. And it's a very intimate thing. And I think it's healing for the client and for us as practitioners. It just is. So on that note, go get yourself a journal. Get yourself a pen that you enjoy having in your hand and writing with. I'll tell you what I use. Composition notebooks. You know, the little black and white marbly notebooks. You can get them everywhere. And they're usually $1, maybe $2. They're everywhere. They're really great to write in, really great to journal in. They're flexible. Man, they should sponsor me, these composition book people. And my favorite pen, now this is very personal. I know, like, everyone has their pens that they like, but let me tell you about this pen. It's a freaking magical pen. Sharpie makes it. It is not a Sharpie marker. It is the Sharpie pen. And it's felt tip, but it's very, very fine. It's still permanent ink, so it does not, you know, melt off the page, or if it gets wet, it's not going to ruin it. Okay, I used that for like 2 to 3 years. Beautiful. I still like using it. But just a week or two ago, my husband brought home this pen from work that I have never seen in my life, and it blew my mind a little bit. Also from Sharpie. It is a gel pen. So, you know, it click, click, does the click thing. And it is still permanent ink. It does not run or bleed. And it's so smooth writing. Your hand doesn't cramp. I can write for hours and it's great. So those two pens, they're, I'm talking about pens like they're my lovers or something. But they're great. They're great. And you should use them. Get you a cheap notebook and just do it. Just start where you're at. You can't do it wrong. It's going to be great. So have at it. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you all again in 2 weeks. I'm really looking forward to this next episode because one of my very best friends, she is so important to me. She's going to be on the show. She is an opera singer. She has a beautiful voice. She's a teacher. She is also a Reiki healer like me. And I can't wait to sit down and talk with her and have you guys get to know her because she's amazing. Her name is Emily, and she'll be here on the next show. And with that, have a great week, and I will talk to you soon.